I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays and even on Labor Days. I am offering up a safe space from 9 to 11 o'clock for you independent thinkers out there or those who aspire to be. Here in a Labor Day, it's an odd day. You kind of realize how much you draw off of kind of just the energy of people moving about. Tough to get cranked up this morning. Traffic is light. WYAB headquarters is light. Everything's kind of tamped down, but we will soldier through a show. I have plenty of clips. I like doing shows on holidays. There's still people out there that are working. There are still a few of us working. I'm really wondering how long Labor Day is going to last in the United States as we transition our economy to one of just government checks. Today, I believe a lot of the COVID benefits drop off, some of the COVID unemployment benefits. So we'll see if this is another lurch towards people trying to get jobs or as we go into the Mu variant. We may have a whole nother round of lockdowns and freakouts, put people right back on the unemployment line, and just continue the government checks going. I mean, when you can print up money with no consequence, just print it up, send it out, get it to the people. Not all people are down with what's going on. I've got some really good news that I saw during the weekend. I got very, very excited by one clip here in the United States, but before we do that, This was France this past weekend. The French have really suffered horrible lockdowns. We've reported a lot here about the protests going on there because the American media won't report on it. So that's why that's really the whole reason that this show and probably this station is here, is to give you news that you won't hear anywhere else. But this was, I believe, 140,000 French people showed up to protest vaccine passports, mandatory vaccines, really the whole COVID cabal, the whole COVID world that they're being forced to live in. The French really kind of took a hard left turn towards a lot of socialism over the years. They're finding out through the yellow vest protest that started back in 2019 all the way up until today, they realized it didn't work and they're sick of it. And that's liberté. And the French, I saw a comment under the story where I pulled that clip from. It said, the French citizenry, the new leaders of the free world, the former group, the U.S., gave up and went home to watch Netflix. And it kind of feels that way, although France is where Anthony Fauci wants us to be. He just hasn't gotten us there yet. So they're definitely moving to get their freedoms back there. There was another great moment this weekend, though. I don't know if you caught this or not, but this was just absolutely fantastic. It actually kind of gave me chills to see this. Not the best for an audio format like radio, but I'm going to play it anyway. This was the opening of the Wisconsin-Penn State game. And I don't know if you saw this, but the stands were packed. Absolutely packed, red and white throughout the sections. None of these person every 10 seats ridiculousness. The players were fired up. The crowd was fired up. And this is what it sounded like at their football game.
It's been 651 days
Uh,
That is a full stadium jumping up and down to jump around. Unmasked announcers, they show them in the booth and they are bobbing their heads. Players dancing around, smiling, loving having the crowds back. The place is just packed with unmasked kids shoulder to shoulder. There's a picture of one of the sports broadcaster girls on the sideline. She's jumping around, dancing. It was really, I'll tell you, sad to say, but we've come to a time in this country where it was just absolutely amazing to see people do this. Obviously, people are not afraid. As much as they have fear-mongered us, most recently on this Delta variant, people went out and lived their life. And this is the only solution to what we're in right now for us, for the French, for the Australians, for everybody in the Western world whose governments have decided to go full-on authoritarian. The only solution is to go out and just start living your life again. The pandemic is going to be over when we say it's over. I played clips last week of Anthony Fauci saying he thinks that we may get some semblance of normal. Where have we heard that before? About six or seven times from him. He thinks we should get some semblance of normalcy by maybe spring of 2022. So you are still 8 or 9 months away from Anthony Fauci declaring this pandemic over. It is certainly time for us to declare the pandemic over. Problem is, my excitement over this, I would imagine, is going to be short-lived. I can only imagine that fans will be kept from with every little outbreak, with every team that gets a COVID case of young, healthy males, with every team that gets a couple of cases, they will be postponing games. They will take us through the same thing they did last year, but for at least one glorious, glorious Saturday, stadiums around the country were packed to the rafters of people shoulder to shoulder dancing and living their lives. This is what normalcy looks like, and it's the normalcy we should continue to demand. We'll be back in just a second.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side.
One of the reasons the French were protesting as well, these vaccine passports, or one of the ways, I guess, they were protesting is they were setting up what they call pop-up restaurants. They were essentially picnicking in the streets. It was very interesting to watch the imagery of this, because what it was just thousands and thousands of French essentially sitting out on sidewalks, sometimes in the boulevards there, unpacking food to eat in front of almost completely empty restaurants. Because the restaurants in France have been forced to do these vaccine passports. And so the French businesses are just getting killed. They're getting crushed. The people are still going out. They're still eating. They're still breathing air. They're still around each other. This is the insanity of the system that France has rolled out, and people in the United States will attempt to roll out here with these vaccine passports. And it's when I talk about, you know, the COVID cult, and I think about small business owners. Do you remember the Heaven's Gate cult? Most all of these cults, they convince people to kill themselves to get to some level of nirvana. Heaven's Gate, I believe, wasn't there? I think there was a mothership. These are the people who died with they all had matching sneakers on. They put some kind of a purple scarf over their face, and they all committed suicide to rendezvous with the mothership that was close to Earth at that particular time. And we've got some businesses that are just going to willingly commit suicide. It's Main Street across the board if you continue to put up with these kinds of restrictions. Now, right now, we don't have those much here, not in Mississippi and not in a lot of states around the country, but believe me, I see fall coming like a freight train. And keep thinking, boy, if we really start to wrap our minds, you know, you got to get mentally prepared to resist this kind of stuff so that you don't end up like the French. The French are being brave, they are being rebellious, but they are also being reactive rather than having been proactive in stopping this before it happened. Speaking of being reactive, The Madison County School Board meeting is tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. We've talked a lot here about we need to unmask our children. This is a mental and physical abuse of every child who sits in a classroom. Luckily, today, they're getting one break. They're getting a Monday to breathe. Today's not just Labor Day. It's students don't have to labor to breathe day. But the school boards need to be put on notice that they will unmask our children. This is an abuse. The studies show it is ineffective. Studies also show the consequences of the masking. You know, if you want to get your voice heard, particularly if you're a parent or a grandparent of children in the Madison County School District, they'll have a school board meeting tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. People need to show up. I just really started getting on this issue last week when I realized the Madison County School Board had enforced a mask mandate. They said just for, air quotes here in the studio, 2 weeks. But we know how that's going to work. They may give it a break, but as soon as a case comes out or five cases within a school of 1,000 kids, they will slap these masks back on kids. They need to be stripped of that power or even the intention to do so. So Madison County School Boards will meet tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Matter of fact, that kind of goes to my quote of the day today. It was Henry David Thoreau said, "Disobedience is the true foundation of liberty. The obedient must be slaves." Disobedience is the true foundation of liberty. The obedient must be slaves. I also found something else interesting. Tell me you don't learn things on this show. Something I learned this weekend. There is a word I think we need to bring back. It's an awkward word. I will say it doesn't roll off the tongue. But this is from the 1860s. There was a term that they used back in the 1860s, and I believe this may have been an English term in the 1860s, but it was Quacker Wodger. That sounds like something the British would come up with. Quacker Wodger. Q-U-O-C-K-E-R. Quacker. Same word. W-O-D-G-E-R. Quacker Wodger. A Quacker Wodger was a type of wooden puppet. In politics, a Quacker Wodger was a politician acting on the instructions of an influential third party rather than properly representing their constituents. The United States is full of Quacker Wodgers. That's a tough word to probably roll out in a sentence, but boy, isn't that apt. In politics, a Quacker Wodger was a politician acting on the instructions of an influential third party rather than properly representing their constituents. And in today's world, these politicians operate on the big lobbyist groups. Big Pharma is why. And we've got stories about ivermectin. Boy, did the media really expose itself over the past few days when it comes to ivermectin in particular. I mean, some big stories out there that were just blatant falsehoods, just lies, easily demonstrable. Within one day, these stories were sat on their heads. And so we have a lot of Quacker Wodgers throughout the media as well who are being driven by this invisible third hand, which largely is a pharmaceutical company that that control the media airwaves. There were several stories this weekend, too. We are starting to see what I believe is coming our way. You know, we watched China lock people down. I remember reporting on it on either January or February of 2020, and I was just sat here in amazement. I thought, oh, my gosh, they have locked down. And I think at the time, they had locked down 500 million people at the beginning of 2020, and I just couldn't believe it. And I thought, and I said on this air, I'll never forget, I said, can you even imagine? They've locked down more people in China than we have in the United States. Can you imagine if they tried to lock down the United States? Me thinking naively that there's no way in the world that Americans would put up with such a thing. Little did I know that they proceeded to do basically exactly the same thing here. Then we saw the Italian spike happen and business closures and restaurant restrictions. And I remember reporting on Italy. Can you believe it? They're shutting down their restaurants. They're forcing people to stay at home in a Western power, and then before you know it, it had gotten to our shores. And what we have seen when it comes to the vaccine and disease, Israel is the COVID hotspot of the entire world right now. The entire world. Israel is leading it as one of the most vaccinated countries in the world. And I think that we are going to see this continue to play out. There were several stories out this weekend about some of the vaccinated hitting the hospitals. I'm not talking about, because the talking point is still, well, you know, they've moved the goalpost. Originally, it was, you know, it keeps you from getting COVID, and it keeps you from trying. We're going to stop this thing in its tracks with these shots. And then they said, well, you can still spread it, apparently, but it still keeps you from getting very sick. And now that is being eaten away at, too. When you look at Israel and their hospitalizations running, about 90% of people in the hospitals there are fully vaccinated Israelis. And so the narrative continues to fall. There are several famous people this past weekend. Oscar De La Hoya, hospitalized after contracting coronavirus. He's in the hospital receiving treatment. He posted a video of himself on Twitter in a hospital's bed. He said he contracted the illness despite being fully vaccinated. This was Oscar De La Hoya's tweet. Wanted you to hear directly from me that despite being fully vaccinated, I've contracted COVID and I'm not going to be able to fight next weekend. Preparing for this comeback has been everything to me over the last months. And he does a video where the guy can barely breathe. He can barely talk. There was also another guy who I was not really familiar with. His name is Patrick Reed. Is this a golfer? He said he didn't know if he was going to make it. Been fully vaccinated, Patrick Reed. He got very, very sick. Ended up with double pneumonia. Said he didn't think he was going to make it. Although, again, fully vaccinated. Lane Kiffin, coach of the Ole Miss Rebels, will miss the opening game tonight. I guess he'll be coaching by Zoom call because he is tested positive for COVID. Now, I don't believe that Lane Kiffin has been reported to actually be sick, and it could very well be a false positive test. But again, this idea that we had a shot that was going to stop, it was our only hope. Nothing else could be done. Everybody needs to line up and get the shots. We're going to stop this pandemic cold. Lane Kiffin now testing positive after being vaccinated. We saw the story last week. Now, I don't know Joe Rogan's vaccine status. A lot of people are reporting that Joe Rogan had not been vaccinated, and they are calling him, what did they call him? I think they called him a vaccine skeptic. Some people are referring to him as anti-vaxxer Joe Rogan, which is a wild twisting. I've listened to a lot of what Joe Rogan has said. I listened to his podcast when he's got a guest that I think is interesting. He does a good format podcast. It's pretty funny when you look at Joe Rogan's podcast of his interviews and compare it to the cable news shows. Joe Rogan just blows them away. So they really panicked when he threw ivermectin into his COVID treatment when he got COVID. And he did get symptomatic. It has been reported that he has not been vaccinated, that he's a vaccine skeptic, that he's anti-vaccine. That has not been proven. At one point, Joe Rogan said he had an appointment to get the vaccine, but for some reason it got canceled. He's never said publicly, and I can't believe he's not going to get a ton of questions now to where maybe he has to address it. What Joe Rogan said that made him this vaccine skeptic, this anti-vaxxer in some people's minds, is he basically said young, healthy people who have a 99.999% chance of survival for this thing, there's no reason for them to get an experimental shot. This, in any other time, would have been a completely sane statement, but in today, talking to the COVID cultist out there, it was heresy. And he was immediately labeled an anti-vaxxer. But again, at one point he had an appointment to get the vaccine. He's taken COVID protocols extremely serious. He's one of these people who's done everything right, yet he still ends up getting COVID. And I would say that there's a very good chance that he was actually probably inoculated too. But when we come back, Joe Rogan said that he did, I believe, the monoclonal antibodies. He also threw ivermectin in there. His exact words were they threw the kitchen sink at this thing and he was down for about 2 days and then popped right back up and seems to be doing absolutely fine. But it was his inclusion of ivermectin in his arsenal to fight COVID that really, oh boy, that really got to the media. And so they pulled out all the stops, including outright blatant lies across the board. And we're going to talk about when we come back some of these stories that ran that are just lies, easily demonstrable lies. They could have easily source checked before they printed these articles in major, major news reporting agencies, just get something incredibly wrong, including something here in Mississippi where they had to issue a correction. We'll get to those things when we come back.
Stay with me. Around me. I need to feel your touch.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, live today on Labor Day. I decided to work. There's just too much news out there. I really feel like there's so much going on that if I left it to only 4 days to cover everything, I wouldn't have time. Plus, I enjoy doing the show. If anybody wants to call in, the number here is 601-879-0002. You can also reach me by email, and I'm looking for people who want to get involved in this fight against masking the children. It is time, people, that you have got to reclaim normalcy. Anthony Fauci is already telling you, and this means with Anthony Fauci's arm firmly up Thomas Dobbs will be mimicking this as well. Normalcy will return to your children at their school maybe next spring. But I'm sure they won't take any chances in the spring. They'll go ahead and keep the children masked for the entire school year. Oh, they'll give you some breaks from here to there. Cases go down. There's a slowdown. And as soon as a couple of cases break out in the school, they will slap these masks back on your children. Learn from the last 16 months. Learn from it. There are no temporary measures when there are these emergency orders out there. And so I've had several parents and grandparents email me. I'm just really kind of compiling people who want to get involved. I'm not going to spearhead this thing, but I think WYAB can play a part in trying to help people be vocal. If people want to call in and talk about getting masks off the children, or if they have action items they want to do, then this is the station. We're going to do it. We're going to, you know, this WYAB has turned out to be the independent station in Central Mississippi, the independent news outlet. Whether you agree with us or disagree with us, at least that, you know, we're not carrying water for the establishment like most WGOP radio stations are. And God knows the media is bought and paid for long, long, long time ago, pretty much across the board. So if it comes to vaccines, to masks, to mandates, to everything else, this has really been the resistance here in this market. So if you want to do anything, you want to just kind of get on the roster and start to mobilize some people, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I would imagine you can also email Clay or Jameson, other hosts too, that have, we're all kind of dedicated to this. And again, there's Madison County School Board's meeting tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. I'm sure people have got better things to do than go to a school board meeting, but your children are being physically, mentally, and emotionally abused on a daily basis. Kind of seems like something maybe we should carve a little time out for. The Joe Rogan story was interesting in a bunch of different ways. Again, I'm not sure if he was vaccinated or not. I think Joe Rogan needs to answer that question. Either way, I think he's left that to be, and I'm all for, you know, for privacy. But it would be very interesting to, it would change probably a lot of the media narrative. They went really after Joe Rogan because he took ivermectin. And what immediately came out is a whole host of stories where they referred to ivermectin as horse paste, horse dewormer. I'm not a farmer, not a cattle rancher, but apparently it does have that use. But it was really amazing with the numbers I've seen anywhere I've heard, 3.4 billion, 3.7 billion, and over 4 billion prescriptions for ivermectin have been given out to human beings. It is a recognized human medication. It is on the WHO's list of essential medications, and I believe there are only three on that list. If there are more than three, it's in the top three. And yet the media across the spectrum from local news to national news started referring to ivermectin as horse paste. Rolling Stone, well, as a matter of fact, let me pull this up real quick. This is on the CDC's website. You know, I mean, this is we're just living in just the most bizarre times ever. This is on the CDC's website, and it is about immigrant, refugee, and migrant health. This is cdc.gov/immigrant-refugee-health/guidelines/domestic/intestinal-parasites-domestic, HTML. And it goes through what the protocol is for immigrants coming from countries that might have parasites, and eventually, spoiler alert, it says, most refugees receive overseas pre-departure treatment with ivermectin before departure, unless contraindicated. And it basically, this whole piece says the treatment for all of these immigrants coming to the United States is before they come, they should get ivermectin. If they didn't get ivermectin before they came, then when they get here, they need to be given ivermectin. This is on the CDC's website. And nowhere in here, I read through this whole thing. It's kind of long, a little science-y. Post-arrival management for strong gliotides and those at risk for Loa infection. I mean, this thing gets down into a whole bunch of different things. Soil transmitted, helminth infections. It's a long thing, but nowhere in here does it say, I don't know, let's just give them horse paste. It refers to ivermectin as a drug. As a drug that is obviously quite safe and effective for human beings because the CDC recommends it. There were stories going around that Afghan refugees who are coming to the United States are being given ivermectin on their way in. And yet the media across the board talked about horse paste. So Rolling Stone wrote an article, particularly in response to the Joe Rogan, saying that he included ivermectin in his treatment protocol for his COVID diagnosis. Rolling Stone does an article. And they have a picture of people standing in a line, presumably outside of a medical building. And it said people are being refused to be, it said gunshot victims are not being admitted to hospitals because the beds are full of people being treated for ivermectin for horse paste overdose. This ran in Rolling Stone, the formerly great Rolling Stone. My first magazine subscription. I was a big rocker back in my teens. I loved Rolling Stone. I remember going to University of Georgia by myself. Didn't know anybody there. I remember walking, I was walking somewhere and I had my copy of Rolling Stone with me. I was still a rocker. I remember some girl, she was an older girl at the school. She's like, oh, you reading Rolling Stone? Cool, man. You know, kind of got me in touch with a rocker chick at University of Georgia. It used to be so great, but now Rolling Stone has just gone full political like the rest of the music industry. And so they do this story. Number one, the cover image of the people waiting outside emergency rooms with the headline gunshot wound victims unable to be treated because the beds are full of ivermectin overdoses. The picture was a bunch of people in their winter coats. Quite obviously was a photo from a different time. That's just where the troubles began. They quoted a doctor who doesn't even work at the hospital. The hospital actually had to put out a statement saying, this story's not true. We are not treating a bunch of people for horse paste overdoses. And the guy who the Rolling Stone cites in this article doesn't even work here. And people see this. My son actually sent me a story about poison control and ivermectin because he was asking me about it. He said, I've been hearing a lot about this, but it looks like they're having all these people that are overdosing on it. And I explained to him and sent him just a couple of links, like to the WHO, that show that it is one of the essential medications and has been prescribed billions of times, but it didn't even spare us here. This was from the Associated Press, the AP, the Bible to all media, because as soon as the AP prints something, every news group picks it up as gospel truth. It's the AP, the Associated Press, the grand dame of mainstream American media. Here is from the AP in an article published August 23rd, 2021, about people taking livestock medicine to try to treat coronavirus. The Associated Press erroneously reported, based on information provided by the Mississippi Department of Health, that 70% of recent calls to Mississippi Poison Control Center were from people who had ingested ivermectin to try to treat COVID-19. State epidemiologist Dr. Paul Byers said Wednesday the number of calls to poison control about ivermectin was about 2%. He said of the calls that were about ivermectin, 70% were by people who had ingested the veterinary version of the medicine. So the AP reports that 70% of recent calls to poison control were all about ivermectin. It turns out it was only 2%. Now, of that 2%, 70% of the 2% were about the veterinary medication that people might have improperly dosed themselves with, which is also really sick because people wouldn't be having to self-administer ivermectin if the medical mafia had not put a blackout on it, if places like CVS and Walgreens hadn't refused to fill prescriptions for ivermectin. Again, this is all created by the medical establishment, the medical mafia that I call them, and then perpetuated about it. Again, you know, even the AP here, this is their opening sentence. In an article published August 23rd, 2021, about people taking livestock medicine to treat coronavirus, even that opening sentence, when they're having to correct their figure from 70% down to 2%, they still take a jab. Instead of just saying about people taking ivermectin, they have to use livestock medicine. Would the AP refer to all immigrants that are coming into the United States from many countries as livestock? Because that's what the CDC recommends, that they get ivermectin. Doesn't sound like a livestock medication to me. It's being given to human beings billions of times, at least over the last 35 years. It may even be longer than that. Maybe 35 years since it's been approved. Merck. Merck is the one that makes ivermectin. So this is just exposed. It's exposed the AP. It's exposed Rolling Stone. It's exposed every media outlet that you hear refer to these things as horse medications, horse dewormers. That's like the clue. Okay, I can never listen to this media source again because they have a horrible agenda that is really anti-human. Because they were refusing to acknowledge the fact that this is a medication in the first place. Anyway, as I say, they may be masking our kids in schools, but the masks are coming off a lot of people during this time. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the medical mafia, some of the things they're doing, and some more. I mean, I kept running across stories this weekend, you know, about vaccines. Have you seen Cornell's results? Cornell put the hot box pressure on their students to get vaccinated. I wonder how that's working out. We'll see in a second.
I like the French braids in your hair and them fitted blue jeans that you wear.
I'll tell you, sometimes things just almost leave you speechless. Tough to be that way when you're doing a talk radio show in the middle of it. Clay Edwards just sent me a tweet from a woman. Her handle on Twitter is Claire Foster MD. Her description says board certified astrologist. Pelosi/Harris 2024 ! Then she has this on here. Fully vaccinated Pfizer January 21st, Moderna February 14th. J&J, February 19th. Did she seriously go against all medical? I mean, but listen to this tweet and ask what has happened to us as a society. This is Claire Foster, MD, on Twitter says, I went to a funeral today of someone who recently died of COVID-19. I didn't actually know them. I just wanted to spit on their grave for not getting this vaccine. Wow. Wow. As we've talked about a lot, you know, we used to really wonder what was going on in Nazi Germany to allow the German people to go along with what they saw happening there. Always been a mystery until last year. Now you just see it happens. I still can't explain it. I mean, does this Claire Foster, would she spit on the graves of an obese person who dies of a heart attack or from diabetes? They made a conscious decision to have a horrible diet. She wants Pelosi Harris in 2024. I'm sure she's a compassionate, loving liberal. Would she spit on the grave of a heroin addict who overdoses? Some poor comedian up in New York died this past weekend, but like, six people died of fentanyl overdoses doing cocaine. Wonder if she would spit on all their graves. It really is just absolutely astounding. Cornell University has aggressively pushed its students to get vaccinated, announcing a vaccine mandate for the 2021-22 academic year in April, and frequently denying religious and medical exemptions. As a result, 95% of the campus's population, both students and faculty, is vaccinated. Despite this, Cornell University has more than five times the amount of confirmed positive cases during its first week of this academic year than it did during its first week of 2021, according to the Cornell COVID dashboard. These things are failing everywhere. New England Journal of Medicine has just published a letter reporting that COVID vaccine protection among 19,000 healthcare workers in San Diego went from 94% March through June to 65% in July. It also reported vaccinated and unvaccinated people were just about as likely to be symptomatic. That's the New England Journal of Medicine. And these things are coming. So what are they going to do? Are we finally going to admit, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to pull up after this next break. I should have done it this past break, but I see this tweet from this woman saying she went by to spit on someone's grave for dying of COVID-19 unvaccinated. And I got to tell you, it threw me. I had to go look it up. Clay sent me the tweet. I had to verify it. And I have no idea how much fact-checking I do at this show here. I don't want somebody dummying up some kind of a tweet, you know, for something and going around. There's so many bad things that go around on the right as well. So many poorly attributed quotes. Did you see what Clint Eastwood said about the vaccine? These kinds of things just float around the internet. Just quotes that were never real. But in Israel, we'll go back and look at the numbers of Israel next hour because they are stunning. And I believe it is what is coming to the United States. Nobody yet, and I've talked to doctors, everybody I've asked. I said, why would Israel, Great Britain, and Australia have completely different results from their vaccine program than the United States? And not one person has uttered a single word as a reason. It just doesn't make sense. You might be able to say that Asian countries or African countries, there may be some genetic differences between white Western countries and Asian or African nations. Maybe there would be something that could explain it. But it is very difficult to understand how Israel, Great Britain, and Australia all have very similar demographics to us. Great Britain has got large minority communities, just like we do. Israel, maybe not so much, but they obviously have Middle Eastern Jews as well. I mean, it is just, how is it possible? And now that we know that our media will just flat out lie to us, we know that Anthony Fauci will flat out lie to us. We know that hospitals will flat out lie about what's going on inside the hospitals. So is it just that the only difference between Australia and Israel and Great Britain and the United States is that those other countries, as totalitarian as they have all gotten, they're still at least honest about what's going on? And I'll show you what I mean when we come back, because I'll give you these statistics from Israel. They are stark. But instead of Israel admitting that this vaccine is failing, because it quite obviously is, wait till you hear the numbers. Instead of doing that, they are going for a third shot and now a fourth shot. When I come back, I don't have time. This is a long story. I didn't highlight the area I need to get to, so I got to find it. But during this break, I'll find it. The health ministers in Israel are basically saying, once you get on this vaccine treadmill, you're not getting off. They are now talking about a fourth shot in Israel. Again, at least they're being honest about it. I wonder if the Israelis are happy about it.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, live on Labor Day. It's lonely. It's a lonely Labor Day. I am sitting up here during the break laughing all by myself, laughing out loud, LOLing, here in the studio all by myself because I cannot figure the world we're living in. During the news break, just then, if you listen to the news break, if you're listening on the podcast, which you can get at themikemadisonshow.podbean.com or get it on Apple Podcasts. Matter of fact, I looked the other day. The podcast is everywhere. It's metastasized. I guess there's just companies that go out there and grab any podcast. I'm not saying it's my, because it's me and it's popular. It just is. It's on a whole bunch of different platforms I had no idea of. My question was immediately, are these people making money at all off me? Are they running ads on my show? Are they doing other things? Because the podcast is everywhere. I'm sure everybody who has a podcast gets picked up by all these different services. But anyway, you can get the podcast at The Mike Madison Show. I usually get people on Apple Podcasts or it's on Google as well. Anyway. If you're listening on the podcast, you won't hear the news break that just went through. But I just sat here in the studio, listening through the studio monitors where they are reporting from Israel. Tonight is the beginning of the Jewish New Year. And they interviewed a Jewish woman who said this is in such contrast to last year's where they had lockdowns. Now Israel is just out there. And the woman says, oh, it is so great to be vaccinated and be able to be around people shoulder to shoulder and to hug loved ones during this Jewish New Year. And I'm just sitting here thinking, this is the world's hotspot right now. Israel is leading. They are triple the number of cases per million people that the United States is. And in the United States, you would think, you know, we're out of hospital beds and the rest of the ridiculous stuff that they keep telling us about. I mean, Israel's a smaller country. There certainly are a lot of good Jewish doctors out there. Maybe they've got a hospital like we've got medical clinics here or something. How are the Israeli hospitals not overwhelmed? They've got three times per million people the cases we've got here. And you get a woman coming on and saying, I'm fully vaccinated. This is fantastic. Here is the Israeli data. In the 20 to 29-year-olds, age group, 20 to 29, in their cases, they have 2,689 cases fully vaccinated, only 795 unvaccinated. The percent of cases fully vaccinated is 77.2%. And this is for every age group, 30 to 39. 78.3% of their cases are in the fully vaccinated. 40 to 49 years old, 83.9% are in the fully vaccinated. 50 to 59 years old, 86% are in the fully vaccinated. 60 to 69, 92.2% of their COVID cases are in the fully vaccinated. 70 to 79, 93.3% of their cases are in the fully vaccinated. 93.3%. And I'm listening, sitting here in the studio, listening to this news break where this Israeli woman goes, oh, I feel so confident. I've been vaccinated. I can rub shoulders with everybody. I can hug my loved ones. And I support her doing all of those things because that's what free human beings do. But in total, of all of the cases in Israel, and this was for, I believe, the last week in August. No. These were actually in July. Of their cases, of all age groups, they had 15,634 cases in the fully vaccinated and only 3,038 cases in the unvaccinated. And 86% of the cases in Israel were in the fully vaccinated. What am I missing? And again, I'll ask, are there any doctors, any epidemiologists out there listening today? You got a day off work? Of course, no, I take that back. No medical professional in Mississippi could possibly have a day off because our hospitals are overrun. But I am looking for somebody to explain to me how Israel, using the exact same shot. Now, I will caution you this. When you see numbers from some countries, I believe Gibraltar is one, having a huge outbreak in Gibraltar. They are something like 95% vaccinated, but they are not using the same vaccines. They're not using the mRNA vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. They're using something else. I can't remember if they were using AstraZeneca or one of the Chinese vaccines, one of these other ones. So make sure you're comparing apples to apples, because what we are concerned with here in this country is the results from the mRNA vaccines. And it is not going well. Over 60% of the people in Great Britain, the last statistic I saw, 60% of the cases were in the fully vaccinated. In Australia, I played the clip, now notorious on this show, of the health minister that came out and said, we've got 141 people in the ICU with COVID, the Delta variant. 140 of the 141 were fully vaccinated, and that last little person had had one of the two shots. Not one of them was unvaccinated. Not one. How is it possible that the United States is seeing something completely different than these three other nations? I don't see there's any way. Of course, in Israel, I mean, the health ministry in Israel, I wish they would speak in English. They speak in Hebrew. I have a clip here of their new prime minister, who is essentially telling everybody in Israel who has gotten two rounds of Pfizer, you know, that was fully vaccinated just a month ago. Now it's not. Despite the WHO coming out against countries giving their population booster shots at this point, Israel has, as of Friday, issued a third dose to 2.5 million Israelis. And they have said Israel's national coronavirus czar on Saturday called for the country to begin making preparations to eventually administer fourth doses of the coronavirus vaccine that came from the Times of Israel. The coronavirus czar, Professor Solomon Zarka, went on television and said, quote, given that the virus is here and will continue to be here, we also need to prepare for a fourth injection. He added, quote, this is our life from now on in waves. You want to talk about shifting goalposts. Holy cow. And so it really brought me to something. The question is, even for the people who have already gotten the shot, because this is a question you're going to have to ask yourself at some point, because now you know that the vaccination that you got, that you thought gave you your life back, that unmasked you, that made you able, you know, a superhero moving about society, now you know you got to be masked. Now you know you can carry the virus. As a matter of fact, in studies of healthcare workers, the vaccinated had 251 times the viral load in their nose that unvaccinated did. So you could be a super spreader. But at the very least, you know, if you've gotten the shots, you know that it wears off. So would you rather deal with a week or two of symptoms, if you have any, for about 95% of all cases of COVID? It goes from nothing to a mild cold to a bad flu that people just take it home. 5% of people, there's tragedies. This thing is just, it's a weird disease. Some people you would think would just have a breeze with it, really get taken down. But you have about a 95% chance, if you contract the disease, of having anything from no symptoms whatsoever to a mild cold to a bad flu. Would you rather have that once? Or would you rather get a shot every 4 to 6 months for the rest of your life, essentially? I don't believe that they are ever going to declare this completely free of coronavirus, certainly not for the next 10 to 12 years. That seems to be about how long a lot of these things continue to circulate. And I have friends who got the shot thinking, well, I didn't want to have to take any time off of work. And, you know, I have some friends that got really sick of this. I just didn't really want to deal with it. But if you had gotten it and had dealt with it and then had the natural antibodies, you would be 6 to 12, I think it's like 6.7 to 12 times more immune to future variants than somebody who's fully vaccinated. So even if you get the shot every 4 to 6 months, which is what appears to be the rollout scenario that they're contemplating, even if you get it every 6 months, you still would have been better off if you had gotten and recovered from coronavirus. You would be 6 to 12 times more of a great response to it. They did this study that came out, and it's pretty amazing. I tell you what, I'll take a break real quick and come back, because it shows it shows where we're just trying to ignore centuries of virology and immunology and these kinds of things. They did the study on natural immunity, and it was hailed as some kind of a breakthrough study, a bombshell. But it wasn't. It was just what we've known for forever. It's just that these days they try to refuse to acknowledge natural immunity. We'll play that clip for you when we come back. Stay with me.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
I have operated under the belief, the thinking, the idea that I didn't want COVID because it is a weird disease. I do a lot to try to keep my health good. I have not had a sick day in 16 years. It's getting close to 16 years. Wish I could mark the day. It'd be almost like a new birthday when I had my health controlled by the medical establishment, and I was sick every year several times and had chronic nagging insomnia and stomach problems and headaches. That was when they were in charge. And then when I took control of my own health, I haven't had a sick day in 16 years. But still, this virus does seem to do some weird things to some people that you don't think should have a bad outcome to it. So I've been operating under the assumption that I don't want it. I'm not scared of it. I do things to keep my immune system healthy. But I don't really want it because I could die. I'm okay with that. I think I take that chance. I've traveled around the world. I knew at any time I could run into all kinds of problems in some of my travels. I go down the interstates. I take road trips. I do all kinds of things, and I just accept that there's risk in life. We're never guaranteed another day. But I've been always thinking, I don't want COVID. I'm not taking any precautions. I'm not using an ineffective mask just to try to show people I'm scared. And I don't want an experimental vaccine. It may turn out to be the greatest vaccine technology, mRNA, but I don't think they got it right out of the box this time, did they? Certainly isn't turning out the way they thought it was going to. That's what happens during an experiment. But I got to tell you, my views on whether of saying I don't want COVID are almost changing because of what they're discovering about natural immunity once you've got it. And the question is, for people who have gotten vaccinated or those considering whether or not to get the shot, would you rather have a week off work where you're sick but you get it over with and then you walk around with robust natural response, natural immunity? Or do you want to get on the treadmill of a experimental jab every 6 months?
A bombshell study released last week shows those previously infected with SARS-CoV-2 have natural immunity that offers 13 times more protection against the Delta variant than vaccination alone. The findings are from Tel Aviv. They followed over 700,000 people that were broken up into three different groups. Those who were vaccinated with two doses of Pfizer, those who had recovered from a previous infection, and those who had recovered and received only one dose of the Pfizer vaccine.
Again, we have to go overseas to find any of these things out. You think Thomas Dobbs is doing these studies? No, he's not. No. He just wants everybody to get the jab, regardless of whether or not you've got natural immunity already. Have they screened a single person for antibodies before administering an experimental jab to them? No, which just shows you, shows me anyway, how wildly dishonest these people are. At the very least, they should have identified people who were most vulnerable, and of the most vulnerable, they should have tested them to see if they have natural immunity before they roll out an experimental shot. But they didn't do that. They said, rush out, get the shot. Doesn't matter which shot it is. Just get as many as you can, as quick as you can. It doesn't matter where you get it. Get it in the stadium. Get it in a clinic. Get it from a van down by the river. Just get the shot. Doesn't matter what age you are. We're trying to roll it out to you two-year-olds. Everybody go out and get the shot. Not one time did they ever say, for those of you who do not have natural immunity, you want this. They rolled it out to everybody. And again, it's Tel Aviv. This is Israel. I think they went off the rails experimenting on their entire population the way they did. But at least they're paying attention to the results. Here, the CDC is not studying breakthrough cases. They didn't do any studies on natural immunity and release them out into the world. No, Israel did. We really have a medical mafia in this country.
Now, the study found that those who had recovered from COVID were 13 times less likely to end up reinfected, concluding that natural immunity confers longer lasting and stronger protection against infection, symptomatic disease, and hospitalization. Now, though the researchers did see some increased benefit for those previously infected who also received one dose of the Pfizer vaccine, the researchers concluded the difference was statistically insignificant.
Now, did you hear that? Because they are telling you right now, well, if you have natural immunity, even if you recover from COVID, go out there and get the jab. And yet they've found in Israel that somebody who has natural immunity, already has the antibodies for this thing, the difference in taking the shot and not taking the shot statistically is zero. Nothing. There's no difference. There's no benefit. And yet still today, Anthony Fauci, Thomas Dobbs, employers, everybody has bought into this cult and telling everybody to go get this jab. This is so wildly dishonest. I don't know how else to report on it.
So why would those who have natural immunity have a more robust immune response? The researchers hypothesize that it's because of B and T cell memory and the fact people who recovered from the virus are exposed to the entire virus, not just the spike protein the vaccines expose the body to. The study is yet to be peer-reviewed, but the findings are consistent with other studies and public health data.
I saw a story last night on 60 Minutes. They actually were talking about DARPA and how they're going to end pandemics in our lifetime. No more pandemics. They would be able to. And, you know, maybe they've got some great technologies. I just don't trust these people at all. But they were studying the 1918 Spanish flu, the real deadly one, the one that this is being compared to. It's really not even a good comparison. Spanish flu was so much worse. But they actually looked, when they were studying the 1918 Spanish flu, they went out to try to find people who had survived it. This was a few years ago. So you had to be, you know, basically 100 years old and have lived through the Spanish flu. But they found some people. And they tested them. They still had antibodies to the Spanish flu 100 years later. That's how beautiful the human body is, how beautiful your immune system is. My understanding is these antibodies, they hide out in your bone marrow. Like this little mercenary army just going, Is that coming? Is that it? Come on, guys, let's get it. They just lie in wait. The human body is so amazing, but we've turned that over to Moderna and Pfizer. They can do so much better than the human immune system. I really don't think so. Now, she went on. The story was kind of long, but I did clip this too. Well, they talk about this should not even be news, this study, because Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci have known about natural immunity and what it is. I mean, I would assume they do. I knew about it. Not as much as I know now. But they pretend like natural immunity is not really a thing. That's old. We've overcome natural immunity with science. That's what they're trying to tell you. But the data is showing they have not at all. As a matter of fact, they're interfering. It's almost like I talk a lot about what a great place the United States is. And if you want to go somewhere in the world to succeed, you come to the United States, not because of the government, but you can still succeed in the United States despite the government. In our country, you can live a healthy life, but you have to do it in despite the medical establishment here. I'm telling you. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second, too, because whether it's ivermectin or these vaccines, people in the natural health world have seen this played out before, where the medical establishment lines up against anything that does not really, to be honest with you, make them a ton of money.
Now, in the beginning, I said this was a bombshell study, but the reality is this shouldn't have been a bombshell at all. Conventional science has always held that previous infection results in robust immunity against reinfection from various viruses. However, for some strange politicized reason, for the past year and a half, this scientific fact has been hotly debated here in the U.S. But it wasn't always. In the instance of chickenpox, the CDC recommends vaccination for those who haven't had a previous infection.
Huh. Isn't that weird? They don't tell you if you've had chickenpox, you still need to get the chickenpox vaccine because that'll just really enhance your natural immunity to chickenpox. No. So if you got chickenpox and recovered from it, you're good. You're good to go. Why have they changed that now? Human body hasn't changed. Our biology hasn't changed. Pharmaceutical companies have just gotten stronger.
On their website, under the heading, "Who Needs a Chickenpox Vaccine?", the CDC says, quote, "People 13 years of age and older who have never had chickenpox or received chickenpox vaccine should get two doses at least 28 days apart," unquote. Same thing for the measles and even polio if they are not combined with other vaccines. Even during the smallpox outbreak, when vaccines became mandated, the certificate of immunity clearly gives clearance for those who had previously recovered from smallpox. So what's the difference now? Why suddenly, after over 100 years of recognizing previous infection as a robust form of immunity, are we suddenly rejecting science by forcing vaccines on absolutely everyone?
Well, I think we all know. That's Kim Iverson. She's with The Rising Show from The Hill. She's not some rabid anti-vaxxer. She's reporting the truth. For 100 years, we have known what natural immunity was. Why is it that Thomas Dobbs did not say, for Mississippians, we want to make sure, you need to screen for the antibodies. If you've got the antibodies, we'll give you a pass to move about society. You're not at any danger. And even if at the very beginning of the vaccine program they said, well, people with natural immunity can still spread it, so you need to get the shot. Well, even that has been completely upended by the fact that we find out now that the vaccinated can and do spread it, possibly as super spreaders, since they can get such a high viral load, carry a much higher viral load than the unvaccinated in the first place. So, I mean, people just need to ask, and I don't even really care what side of this debate you're on, whether you're vaccinated or not, whether you want the shot or you don't. You should wonder why Thomas Dobbs has turned his back on 100 years, 100 years of immunology, virology, 100 years of data, 100 years of research that says that natural immunity is great. You're good to go. Sorry you had to go through that bad week with COVID. Some of them went through bad months with COVID. But at least you're now immune to it. Why did he just reject all of that and just tell everybody to rush out and get a shot? And it sure would be nice if somebody in the media asked him that question.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, working live on a Labor Day. For those of you out there who still have your radios, this is not always a well-listened-to day, but it'll be interesting to see. A podcast has been blowing up to a degree. So I wanted to do a show. There's just so much to talk about. I get a lot of emails from people. You can reach me, Mike Madison at WYAB.com. I get a lot of emails from people who are frustrated about the way ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, I mean, even doctors, there's certainly a lot of doctors out there. They've tried their best to censor them, but luckily there have been some free speech platforms that have opened up. That's what the free market does, if you'll just wait a second. Conservatives are so ready to use the government against these big companies. I'm for small, limited government. Unless there's something I want to crush, and then I want to use a giant, massive federal government to crush Facebook. Did you see that Joe Biden's looking at breaking up Facebook? Does that make him a good guy now? But there are doctors getting onto these competing, the Rumbles and the BitChutes and other things, and they are as frustrated about this as anybody. I talked to a doctor the other day. He said he doesn't understand what's happening in the medical community. These are people he's worked with for decades. And he was in a break room with some doctors, and they were laughing about ivermectin and all the rubes out here using horse paste and all that. And he just couldn't keep – he doesn't like to talk about this stuff, but, you know, he doesn't want to be ostracized from his community. But he said, you know, you guys can laugh about ivermectin, but there's a lot of studies. It works. It's safe. May not work for everybody all the time, but it's a safe drug. It's not gonna kill a bunch of people to use a drug that's been administered billions of times with hundreds of studies over decades. And then he just left. I asked him, I said, how many of those doctors do you think will go look it up? Look up what you're talking about. He said, oh, probably none. Because doctors already know everything. The pharmaceutical companies have told them everything they need to know. But I get emails from a lot of people who are frustrated with the suppression of these other medications, of treatments. And I will say this to you. I'm kind of used to it. This is not the first time I've seen this. People in the natural health community, and I may talk about this on my show on Wednesday, where I do Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. Because since I've been paying attention to kind of natural health, making sure your body gets what it needs to operate properly, now over 15 years, it's been very interesting to find that the medical mafia has been after alternative treatments that do not fatten their wallets for decades. You know, Mississippi will not allow naturopaths in Mississippi. Why? Well, they tell you it's because these people don't believe in modern medicine, and so they're a danger to your health. And you, the Mississippian out there, you're too stupid. You're too stupid to be able to parse through bad snake oil salesmen. But in many states, naturopaths work with great success. I've talked a lot about a naturopath up in Nashville. It's like a year waiting list for her to see you. That doesn't happen if people are not getting good benefits from her. So in Mississippi, the medical mafia here will not allow naturopaths because they don't subscribe to the burn, cut, and poison model of medicine, which is what America is all about. Burn, cut, and poison. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Keeping you healthy? Not really on the radar. There was a doctor in Texas named Brzezinski. Forget his first name. I think he might have been Polish. And I'm pretty sure he's either in Dallas or Houston. I want to say it was Houston. He came out with some new protocol for cancer. And if I talk about it on the show Wednesday, I'll go back and remember it. It was a great documentary. I can't even recall the name of the documentary right now, but there was a show about it. He was curing people's cancer. But he wasn't doing it with the cut, burn, and poison model of American medicine. The very, very profitable cut, burn, and poison model. And so the medical establishment in Texas, the state medical board, They went after him something like 7 or 9 times. He was hauled up in front of the state medical board where they continued to try to strip him of his license. There were people he had cured standing in front of these buildings where these hearings were going on saying, leave this doctor alone. He saved my life. He's saving lives. But the medical establishment said no. They don't want the competition to their profitable model. Hospitals are businesses. Doctors are business people. Now, there are some very good ones out there that are true healers. And God knows if you need a surgeon to repair part of your body that has been broken, this is a golden age to be alive. Modern medicine can do wonderful things. But when it comes to curing things or keeping you healthy, there's no money in that. So this Dr. Brzezinski was basically, they tried to silence him. I'm not sure if he's still practicing or not. He may be old. It's probably been 10 years since I've seen this documentary about him. But again, it was more suppression, just like what you're seeing now. It's just you didn't know this was going on. There's been a war on raw milk. Now, there's some people who say you shouldn't drink dairy and that, you know, milk is just for baby cows, these kinds of things. So there's controversy around that. But raw milk has got a whole lot of different enzymes and benefits to it. Do you know that the FBI, that there have been dozens, maybe hundreds of SWAT team raids on farmers selling their neighbors raw milk? Neighbors would get together in like a co-op. They would just buy dairy cows, and one of the farmers would raise these cows and get the raw milk out and give it to their neighbors who willingly took it. They paid for it. They wanted it. But if word got out, the medical establishment said, that's dangerous for everybody. Nobody had complained. Nobody was dying from raw milk. It's just that the health authorities, people like the USDA and the FDA, they deemed it a danger, even though people wanted it. People said there's lots of benefits to it. I've never had raw milk, but I would certainly try it. But the FBI would raid these farms. Full tactical gear, armored vehicle, guns drawn, everybody on the ground. They'd take all their computers. They would take everything. Full-on SWAT raids on people just giving raw milk to their neighbors. And this is why I call them the medical mafia. There's a great documentary out there called the Gerson Miracle. And I'm going to research this a little bit more, so I've got the names and dates and places and all accurate for my show on Wednesday. But there was a guy named Max Gerson, and he came up with an alternative cancer therapy, and it was all really about nutrition. Had great success with it. So what did they do? They ran him out of the country. There is still a functioning Gerson Institute right now, I believe, in Mexico. You have more freedom, more medical freedom in Mexico than you have here in the United States. Done a lot of reporting about Mexico over the past year. Mexican president even came out not long ago, or health minister, one of the two of them, came out basically and said, hey, we need to be careful. This big pharma, they make a lot of money. We're not going to offer up our kids with this experimental jab just because big pharma wants to make more money in Mexico. Here in the United States, they're salivating about getting these shots into people as young as 2 years old, maybe 6 months old. By the time it's all said and done, if we don't put our foot down, it's going to be newborns. Speaking of that, kind of as an aside, I don't know if you saw this picture. Pete Buttigieg, our transportation secretary, former candidate for president on the Democratic side. Did you see his Twitter announcement of the birth of his twins with his husband? He's gay. And they put out a picture of the two of them in a hospital bed with the two newborns. The husband, he's got some weird name, Chantal or something. I can't remember what it was. Chance or something. Something metrosexual like that. They're in a hospital bed. The husband has some kind of a medical bracelet on. They are both in a hospital bed with these two newborn babies in what I can only describe as one of the most bizarre, head-scratching pictures I've ever seen. The other guy did not give birth to this child. But they make it look like this is the typical family experience of the woman who gets the newborn placed on her chest after birth, takes a quick picture. It was just absolutely bizarre. But I hope that what natural health people have seen for decades now, chiropractic care, the AMA, the medical mafia, the AMA went after chiropractic care with just abandon, trying to destroy them entirely as an industry until courts of law smacked them across the face and said there is value to what chiropractors do. But the AMA wanted no competition. They want cut, burn, poison. That's it. Excuse me. Cut, burn, poison, profits, period. So what you're seeing when it comes to ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, zinc, quercetin, exercise, getting your immune system in shape, eating decent food, all of the things that could have mitigated this COVID disaster that we've had, the reason you're seeing all those things suppressed is because they're just doing what they've always done, which is try to disempower the American people to make sure that you're just sick enough to get a bunch of very costly treatments, but good enough to live on to get more disease down the road because they don't want you dying too quick when you still got insurance dollars left. So natural immunity, the reason that Thomas Dobbs and Anthony Fauci and everybody else is ignoring natural immunity is because natural immunity is not profitable. There's no benefits. There's no stock market. There's no stock ticker symbol that's going to benefit from natural immunity. So they're not interested in it. I'll be right back. All right, only a few more minutes left in the show today. I'm telling you, people, you're going to be really sorry if you sit on your hands and don't fight back against what we're seeing with these vaccines. They're not working. They're failing. And the question is settled in my mind. What I didn't want to get COVID for the past 16 months because I might have a bad outcome from it. It's a weird disease, but I'm okay with that. That's better than getting on this hamster wheel. And when it comes to your kids, you better start looking into whether or not your kids have got antibodies for this thing and start making the case that if your child has natural immunity from COVID, you do not want them getting an experimental shot because that's what it is. But like I say, things around the world have a way of circling around to the United States. Here is one of the health ministers in Great Britain talking about the childhood vaccine program there. And this should terrify every parent.
I was going to ask you about that as well. What do you do? So parents said no, teenager says yes. What do you then do?
Well, the NHS is really well practiced in this because they've been doing school immunization programs for a very long time. So what you essentially do is make sure that the clinicians discuss this with the parents, with the teenager, and if they are then deemed to be able to make a decision that is competent, then that decision will go in the favour of what the teenager decides to do.
That's fascinating. So to be clear, the teenager can override the lack of parental consent. If the teenager really wants the jab, they're only 15, the parents say no, the teenager can have it.
If they're deemed to be competent to make that decision with all the information available.
There you go. Vaccinations for the kids without parental consent in England. Now, I will say he kind of either retracted or backpedaled or something. He contradicted himself. He spoke to Sky News on Sunday and told them that children would require parental consent to get vaccinated no matter what. Asked by Sky's reporter, he said, assure parents that if there's a decision to vaccinate 12 to 15-year-olds, it will require parental consent. He said, I can give that assurance, absolutely. But that's not what he said just then, is it? Real quick, I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Madison County School Board meeting, where is it physically, and do you have to have a special invitation to get to the meeting?
You certainly don't have to have an invitation to actually go to the meeting. I believe it's at the school board building there on Highland Colony. I will have the place. Time is 5 o'clock, but I guess just look up Madison County School Board. It's on Highland Colony. I'll have the address tomorrow. I'm sorry I don't have that now. It was a oversight on my point, but it is 5 o'clock tomorrow, so it would be great to have some parents and grandparents out there.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, so glad to parents that are getting out in front of this thing. Your kids are going to be masked for an entire year, maybe on and off, but it's unhealthy for them. It's physical, it's mental, it's emotional abuse, particularly of the younger children who are just developing their social skills. I can't imagine how this is affecting them and affecting their little bodies as they struggle to breathe in that petri dish of fungus and bacteria that's trapped in their stupid little cloth mask that do absolutely no good. So school board meeting for Madison County Schools tomorrow. We're going to stay on top of those kinds of meetings and try to get people engaged in them. Parents need to start putting together groups where they keep their school boards and their schools themselves in check. It can start off with masks. It can then be used against the vaccination mandates and things like critical race theory. It is past time for parents to take back their schools.
No
See you
matter
tomorrow.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.